This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Way Northern Kia Studios, live on a Sunday morning. John Fricke with you. Lots to chat with you. We're going to, you and I, spend a bunch of time between now and 12:30 when we go to the Chargers and Chiefs talking about the Atlanta Falcons. When it comes to the Falcons, there's no more insider than Joe Patrick. He is our Falcons reporter, insider, and of course covers Flowery Branch left and right. Boy, does he have a lot to cover these days with the current state of the, not only the franchise with the games remaining, but what already turning to kind of what are we going to see and do here in the off season. And we turn to Joe to get all that kind of insight. Joe, what's going on?
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Not much, John. You know, just woke up late on a Sunday afternoon. Nice to not have the Falcons. Nice that they've already won, obviously, when they play earlier in the week. So nice little kind of mini bye for us here in the media as well.
So, Joe, the improbable win on Thursday night, we get on the laundry list of things that shouldn't have ever happened, including the win. I can't imagine, by the way, what the reaction was like in Tampa to have that happen. Mm. You know, the first team to ever blow a 14-point lead to a team that had more than 14 penalties and do it in the last 10 minutes in the way that they did it, because Tampa's view of this is that they just absolutely gagged and choked, which they did, by the way. But you look at this and what the Falcons were able to do without Drake, despite all the penalties and all the mistakes and shooting themselves in the foot 10,000 times. They didn't stop in the game, a game that they probably should have lost or could have quit on. And you know, I'll give them credit for this much. They rallied and fought through it. Somehow, I still don't know how they won that game.
Yeah, you know, they played hard. And, you know, I didn't think that they didn't play hard last week either until, obviously, that kickoff return that Rashid Shaheed had for Seattle came against them. And that really feels like it took the wind out of their sails. But maybe it did help. I can always kind of roll my eyes whenever there's, for example, like in the wake of the Seattle loss, when the players and coaches say, you know, well, it's a good thing we play on Thursday because we can get this out of our mouths quickly. And maybe that there was, some sense that was the case in this one, because it felt like just, you know, the team had 3 days to kind of rush to prepare for this thing. And maybe that was the best thing for them. And they were certainly fired up, whether that was playing for Raheem Morris or their contracts or whatever other number you go down the laundry list for reasons why they should be playing hard out there. But they certainly were. And, credit to Kirk Cousins for putting on a performance that was, capable of allowing these guys to really, get out there and play to their capabilities, obviously, with Kyle Pitts going off. I worry that he'll be almost a victim of his own success after this one, because people are like, where has this Kyle Pitts been? It's like, well, hold on, guys. This is like the fifth best game we've seen in NFL history from a tight end. So let's not act like this is something that can necessarily be replicated week to week. But I did think that like the attributes that he was showing was the kind of thing that you do want to see. And so that was great. But, we're at the point now where like Bijan Robinson also just has like 175 all-purpose yards. And it's just kind of like ho-hum. That's what you expect And I guess that's what you typically happens with guys who lead the league in all-purpose yards like he's on track to do. So it was kind of, you know, a case of this Falcons offense really showing what they can be. And to your point, credit to them for not getting their heads down too much when they did have all these penalties that was setting them back during the course of the game.
Of course, it's easy to play loose and free when you got nothing to play for. Just saying.
Fair.
I mean, you know, they didn't, you know, bottle up here because what's the diff? I mean, really? I mean, you win at 29-28, you lose 42-0. There's no, you've been eliminated. So it's easy to relax and just kind of get into it. I mean, so
John, I almost
that's part of the frustrating part.
Yeah, I almost wonder if it's more of that for the coaches, honestly, and for Zach Robinson in particular, to not kind of feel the pressure, because it felt like the play calling was a lot better than what we've seen, just in terms of getting the most out of Kirk Cousins and what this offense is capable of. I've never felt like the players have been under, like, you know, pressure, and that's affected their performance. I feel like in some cases they just haven't been set up for success by the coaching staff in a number of ways. And I thought that, you know, this was a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, it happened too late. And that's kind of the thing that Falcons fans will be kicking themselves over about this game. And I'm sure the coaches as well.
Yeah, happened much too late. That's the theme of the last 8 years. I mean, it's just an ongoing hamster wheel, Joe. I mean, so we got to break the cycle here. And I'm really afraid, and this is where we get into the false positives going into the off season here. I'm really afraid that the false positives are going to lead to more mistakes being made and not evaluations. I know that there was a story that said, Joe, Arthur Blank will evaluate the coaches and the players at the end of the year. I'm like, yeah, that's
yeah.
Isn't that like normal? Is it that doesn't everybody do that, or is that some kind of news that I've never heard of before in the history of the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so anyway, neither here nor there, but it was just like, well, yeah. And so as they do the evaluations, the false positives, because, and I mentioned it in my opening statement there at the beginning of the show, is that you have people running around posting, Kirk Cousins should have been the starter all season long. Look how great he was. Did you forget who the starter was against Miami? Did you forget who the starter was against Seattle? Joe, am I wrong? Was that Kirk Cousins?
You know, so those were Kirk Cousins. You know, the game against Miami, he was inserted as the starter on Friday or Saturday.
Oh,
I can't remember which one.
Joe, stop. He was the starter of all of last year. It's not like he's walking into a new team. Come on. I mean, seriously.
Listen, no, but like when the game plan is put together at the beginning of the week, it is made with certain personnel in mind. When you're switching the quarterback, and it's notable in that game because they came out with the normal game plan. And as that game evolved, they started getting more under center. They started doing more of the things that we've seen from Kirk Cousins. And I think it's notable that this team has actually entering this week, and I don't want to say it after this game, but it's probably going to go up after this. They were the third best EPA per pass team from under center, and that's basically after Kirk Cousins is inserted as the starter. John, I think that there is legitimate conversation to be had about the way that the team has handled the quarterback position in the wake of Kirk Cousins' injury that happened last year. Now, I think when they made the move last year, you could argue it was too late, but it was obviously worth doing at that point. Kirk Cousins was incapable of playing quarterback to the level that you needed. And frankly, they got much better quarterback play when they inserted Michael Penix for those last three games of the year. And Michael Penix gave them a chance to nearly reach the playoffs. I think that there's a conversation worth having over whether it was prudent for them at that point in time to say that Michael Penix is the starter going forward, including into next year, because I think that you can say what we saw from Kirk Cousins in that game on Thursday night, there were so many throws with anticipation and touch on the passes that was allowing guys like Kyle Pitts to run after the catch. And I think you can argue that, you know, the injury, obviously, that he did not tell the team about last year was affecting him. But coming into this year, could you have created a competition where, you know, you proved in training camp who the better quarterback was, and you were going to get the guy who was the winner of that competition? I think that's a perfectly valid conversation to have.
Okay, that's fair, right? So, but doesn't it go to the point of that the failure to do that is a failure, is a coaching failure. It's a
coaching failure. For sure. And I don't even know, like, honestly, when it comes to the starting quarterback, it is we have to kind of identify Raheem Morris, obviously, as, like, you know, he's the head coach, obviously a key decision maker in this. But is that even, like, organizational? Does that go up the chain? Like is Terry Fontenot involved in that decision over who's going to be the quarterback going forward? Because, you know, maybe they would have wanted to make that move with the idea that maybe they could have traded Kirk Cousins in the offseason and added to the roster, such and such. It's a complex, but yeah, that's my point, is that, you know, you can argue that the quarterback position has kind of been mishandled in terms of who's playing that role. I don't think it, and to be clear, I don't think last year it was mishandled. Outside of that, they should have made the change sooner, but coming into this year was, in my opinion, a different story, and potentially there was more on the table for this team with Kirk Cousins as the starting quarterback.
Right, so could be mishandled now? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on you, but I just got to ask, because you set it up. So what do you do now? Kirk Cousins, are you considering bringing Kirk Cousins back?
No. It's impossible. It's impossible because of his salary cap number. I think it's impossible because of because of the mistruths that were told, or the way I think the organization feels about, you know, that Kirk Cousins was not honest with them last year, and whether, you know, time has kind of healed that wound, I don't know, but it's really the contract, honestly, that is the non-starter here. They cannot bring him back for the number that he's on. And so that's what's kind of funny about this situation, is that they're going to ultimately need somebody to kind of be a bridge quarterback until they can get back to Michael Penix when he's back from that injury. Unfortunately, that bridge quarterback can't be Kirk Cousins, although even though he's going to end up being a bridge quarterback probably for somebody else. There are some different circumstances that make it so that it's not going to be him.
Kyle Pitts. Now, I see a lot of people saying, well, you know, you can, because there's three things you could do with him, right? You can franchise tag him, you can transition tag him, and then there's different kinds of tags that you could put on him. One includes non-exclusive, which means that, you know, nobody's going to touch him because nobody's going to give you two first-round picks for him. But, you know, do you tag him? If you do tag him at $16 million as a tight end, does he go to arbitration seeking to be tagged as a wide receiver at $25 million? Because he may, because he may be able to argue, like other tight ends have, like, you know, especially guys like Kelce and Gronk, who've argued that they're not tight ends, they're actually wide receivers. You know, and now suddenly he's making catches and looking like, you know, Godzilla out there with great hands over the middle and leaping into the end zone. Suddenly he's turned into this is why he's going to make so much money, because everybody, if you didn't see the potential for what you saw Thursday night, I don't know what you were paying attention. That's always been there. It took 5 years to get there.
Yeah. The tough running after the catch, too, just picking up all those yards, those yak yards, you know, after a 5-yard stick route or something. Kyle really showed how valuable he can be to a team. I do wonder if one of the reasons he was obviously, and statistically, I'm sure this is obviously the case, but with Drake London out, is he even more valuable, or is he able to kind of showcase himself more when he doesn't when he's not kind of, you know, got another, you know, great option that a quarterback can go to. I don't know. But, you know, as far as, like, his classification, I don't think he'll win that. You know, he might try to push for something like that if he is tagged, be tagged as a wide receiver price. But based on past precedent, I don't see that happening. I could see that kind of being something that the Players Association kind of deliberates about with regards to how the franchise tag is used as a mechanism going forward when they go into their future CBAs, because, you know, it is kind of, like, he's kind of getting classified under contracts that, like, Charlie Warner is also signed to, who has a totally different role. And that's just the weird thing about the tight end role. But anyway, yeah, I mean, like, I think that the franchise tag is firmly an option on the table. You know, if he's allowed to go to free agency, the team would also likely pick up a compensatory draft pick based upon what Kyle signs for in free agency with somebody else. But, you know, he clearly would have a lot of value in this kind of offense, in this kind of role. And so if you can get that out of him, I think that it makes sense to keep him. And to your point, like, the franchise tag obviously kind of keeps him under team control, at least for a little bit, so that you can either get that value out of him on the field or potentially even more than you would get in compensatory picks via a trade.
Yeah, and it'll be up to them to see, you know, what kind of tag they want to put on him. And, you know, because if they put a tag on him where other teams can still bid on him, which is the, you know, the non-exclusive. Some people say, well, why wouldn't other teams want to, you know, beat that and force the Falcons to pay more money? Well, because the Falcons just let him go and you get two first round picks. And so I don't know. It's going to be just interesting. I guess my point is, without getting into kind of all the, you know, whys and wherefores of the different kinds of tags here, I think the Falcons are going to have no choice but to tag him.
Yeah, I think that we're probably headed toward that resolution as well, which is not really a resolution. It's a temporary resolution, but I think that's probably the case as well. It would be tough, especially if he continues to play well toward the end of the season. I think it would be tough as Falcons fans to just see him, you know, to allow him to basically walk away. And yeah, you get a compensatory pick or whatever, but you're not going to, you know, actually be the recipient of that for another year. And yeah, and it would be tough to see him tear it up. I'm sure that's what every Falcons fan's worried about, seeing him like kill it for the Kansas City Chiefs or somebody
right,
like that.
Well, that's exactly the team, right? I mean, because, you know, if Kelsey's done, then yeah, that's exactly the team. So, Joe, that leads to the bigger question here. False positives as it relates to the coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not enthused by like 19 penalties. I mean, I thought that the play calling from Zach Robinson was better, but that him coming back as a non-starter, it feels like that's completely untenable at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I think to get yourself hyped up about, you know, one win is as irrational as it is to kind of want the entire coaching staff fired after a particular, you know, after one loss that kind of randomly happened. So we got to wait. We got to wait to see this thing. But I know that, like, it feels like some people are worried and that it's in that extent. And I guess I kind of understand why after having gone through the Dan Quinn thing, which I think Falcons fans obviously have on their minds and are kind of, that's like a cautious tale about what happens in these kinds of situations.
Well, give me your best guess right now, as we said. I mean, you could change your mind next week.
Yeah, yeah. It, like about Raheem,
yeah.
I think that they'll make a move. I think that they'll move on more likely with Raheem, but I don't know that for certain. That's just my pure guess. But I think both Raheem and Terry Fontenot, I would say it's greater than 50-50 for both of them individually. I don't know if both will happen ultimately, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I can't know how much input Terry Fontenot had on Raheem Morris. If he had a lot, I don't know how you bring Fontenot back and trust him.
Yeah, it's hard for us to know the whole picture. Yeah, it's hard for – we don't know all the information like the Falcons do internally.
Correct. So. Yeah, that's there. Joe Patrick, what's the podcast?
Joe Patrick on Football. Had a reaction show after Thursday night, and we'll have another one up tomorrow.
Joe Patrick on Football. You can catch it on any podcast platform if you want the insight from our Falcons insider. Joe, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will look forward to the remainder of the year.
All right. Thanks for having me on, John. Appreciate it. Always fun.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.